My Joy Online Interactive app. The Midday News is sponsored by Petrosol, your clean full in full quantity. Petrosol, always a delightful experience. Also brought to you by Geoplus Ghana Limited, producers of quality PVC and HDPE pipes. And Water Tank, the only water storage tank with a level indicator. Where Geoplus goes, water flows. Coming up, investigations begin to unravel circumstances surrounding the alleged clash between some soldiers and personnel of the Ghana Prison Service in the Upper East region.
Oh my God, why will you point a gun at your colleague personnel, uniform person? It's not their first time.
Well, details as security experts express worry over the situation, saying it can have implications on the Boko conflict. Also, European Union foreign policy chief says the anti-LGBTQ bill passed by Parliament will not become law when the controversial bill came up for discussion in the EU Parliament.
The constitutionality of the bill has been challenged and it is currently scrutinized by the Supreme Court. The bill also still requires presidential assent to enter into force. The president has publicly reiterated his commitment on the respect of human rights.
The sponsors of the bill are hitting back, asking the EU to stay back.
I think that they should be very careful how they make this pronouncement. They cannot make pronouncement that undercuts the authority of Parliament or the sovereign Parliament of the people of Ghana. Honestly, I am upset by the comment.
We have details of that. Also, sabotage or misunderstanding of the real issues. We have more as feud between the Ashanti Regional Minister and the Electricity Company of Ghana deepens.
Greco shortfall of 200 megas. A whooping amount of 120 megawatts was taken from Ashanti Regional.
We supply what Greco give it to us. As long as Greco give us the power, everybody will have the supply.
We have sports.
Dreams FCI final spot in the CAF Confederation Cup to break a 20-year jinx as they face African heavyweights Zamalek this weekend.
Years of peaceful reign, what the Asante Yeni Otunfo Setutu II has come to be known as he marks his silver jubilee on the golden stool. But his ascension to the throne wasn't as smooth sailing. We'll hear from his man Rehini.
Tinaye were working principle. We refused. And I said,
We're live at the Mensah Palace as the King celebrates today with a non-denominational Thanksgiving service. I am Amiesi Nyamiche Thompson. Stay with us for details. This afternoon, investigations are underway to unravel the circumstances surrounding the alleged clash between soldiers and personnel of the Ghana Prison Service in the Upper East region. A high-powered delegation from the Prison Service has arrived in the region to investigate the incident which occurred at the Boko local prison. Videos circulating on social media show heavily armed officers in a tense confrontation. The footage reveals an officer with a severe face injury and another officer expressing distress from a pickup. Meanwhile, the Director General of the Ghana Prison Service is urging its officers to exercise restraint. Max Olagbagba has more in this report.
Oh my God, why will you point a gun at your colleague personnel, uniform personnel? It's not their first time.
In the video, some personnel of the Ghana Prison Service are heard raising alarm about the alleged attacks from the military. The clash resulted in a gunshot injury to an officer of the Prison Service Wednesday afternoon. Details of the cause of the clash are still sketchy. However, Joy News sources in Boko indicates that the military officers were angered after the prison officers protected some civilians who were being pursued by them. The two civilians were said to have been a nuisance at a function at the Boko Chief's Palace, and the military wanted to punish them, but they escaped to the camp of the prison officers. The military, sources say, upon arrival, were met by the prison officers. Upon noticing that they were outnumbered, the soldiers retreated and returned to the prison officers' quarters with reinforcement. The clash resulted in a firearm being fired, causing the injury of a prison officer.
Point a gun at your colleague personnel. Now you fire him. Boku. Boku.
Meanwhile, the Ghana Armed Forces say they have taken note of the video and are currently conducting internal investigations into the matter.
Well, Upper East Regional Minister Hafiz Bin Saleh says he will do everything possible to ensure the incident doesn't happen again.
It was blown out of proportion. It's a little misunderstanding between the military troops here and the prison officers here. But we came this morning, members of RESEC, supported by the General Officer Commanding the Northern Command. We came, we interacted with the commanders, and after that, we've come to address the troops.
In a statement signed by the Director General of the Ghana Prison Service, he has caused an investigation into the incident which will bear the facts. He's urging personnel of the service to exercise restraint. My colleague Kweku Asante joins me with details of that statement. Kweku, what does it say?
It says the Director General has noted with deep concern and empathy the reported case of an unfortunate brawl between officers of the Boko Local Prison and a detachment of the Ghana Army Station in the same town. This is an unhealthy situation which should not have occurred, to say the least. In a bid to nip this fracas in the bud, he held an immediate teleconference with the top hierarchy of the military, the police, and others within the national security architecture. He has also caused an investigation into the incident, which will lay bare the facts. Besides, a high-powered delegation from the prison's headquarters is on its way to the region.
Thank you, Kweku Asante. Joining us now on the phone lines is our Upper East Regional Correspondent, Albert Sori. Albert, what more do we know about this incident? How are residents reacting?
Mamiesi, for many of the residents of Boko, they have never seen such a thing, because we know of the ethnic conflict because of the chieftaincy in Boko. So usually clashes are between the factions in the conflict. But never has it been seen before that the security agencies who should be protecting them are themselves clashing and even injuring themselves with gunshots. And so many of the residents are worried about the development. But because of the assurances from the regional minister, they are hoping that such a thing doesn't occur again. And hopefully they can rest assured that their lives and properties can be protected by the security agencies.
Well, Albert, we understand that there's a delegation there now, I mean, investigating the incident. Do we know anything, I mean, the latest about that?
Yes, so the investigations, from what we are told, are ongoing. It is kept under wraps, of course. Even yesterday, when the regional minister met the two factions, military and the prison service officials, he didn't reveal much of the details of the discussion that went on between them. So the investigation is still under wraps. We don't know much about what is going on until maybe they are done with the investigations, and hopefully the Regional Security Council can share with us what the findings are and what they intend to do moving forward.
Thank you very much, Albert, sir, with that update. Now, some security analysts have also expressed worry over the situation, saying it can have wider implications on the Boko conflict. National Coordinator of West African Network for Peace Building, WANEP Ghana, Albert Iyelyang, joins us now. We're grateful for your time on the Midday News. Some security analysts, like I already said, have had concerns about this particular issue. What's your assessment of the situation?
Yeah, thank you very much. And first, let me say that the incident is once again unfortunate, because that's not the first time we've had infractions between the security operatives and the civilian population. And even to the extent that now we have an intra-security engagement, which could deepen mistrust amongst them. And even before the incident, there have been some rumors about there being some mistrust amongst them in view of how they operate. Some have complained that there are they have their strategies in terms of operations, but sometimes it looks it appears that the other agencies have different modes of operation. So it might be affecting command and control, because the agencies in there, all of them should be seen to be operating as a team. But if we have non-coordination among them in terms of the intent of their strategies, you know, and actual operations, then it might be complicated. And if that happens, then it could be taken advantage of by other groups who may see that as an opportunity, because between the factions or among the factions, when I say among, I mean other parties that might not be directly involved in the Boko situation also have interest. So if they have their own thoughts about the conflict and own strategies as to outwit each other or to gain advantages over others, and then they see that there is that kind of non-coordination, the team of the security is not working as a team, you know, then it might be complicated and they could be taking advantage. Besides them, you would probably have some external groups that might be sitting somewhere and observing what is happening. And don't forget that we have been concerned about either an emergence or infiltration of extremism or external cross-border incursion. So right. We need to be very mindful of how we work as a team, you know, among the security agencies. And that then can inure to the security operatives getting the cooperation, right. Getting the involvement of the local communities. Right.
We're grateful for your time here. National Coordinator of the West African Network for Peace Building, WANEP, Mr. Albert Yelyang. Moving on, the European Union says it is confident the anti-LGBTQ bill passed by Parliament in February this year will not become law. The bill has been caught in a web of political and legal disputes and is yet to reach the desk of the President as cases filed against it its constitutionality goes through the courts. In a speech delivered on behalf of the EU's High Representative for Foreign Policy, Joseph Borrell, in the European Union Parliament, the Union said it is confident President Akufo-Addo will stick with Ghana's human rights commitment and not sign the bill into law.
Ghana is a solid democracy and anchor of regional stability. It has a strong record in terms of protecting human rights throughout its laws and through its practice. Significant steps have been taken in this area. Example, Ghana's decision of last year to take steps towards abolishing death penalty, is the recent passing in Parliament of the Human Sexual Rights and Family Values Act, commonly referred to as the anti-LGBTIQ bill, is an issue of concern. In its current form, the bill requires close review in light of Ghana's international and constitutional human rights commitments. The constitutionality of the bill has been challenged and it is currently scrutinized by the Supreme Court. It's also to be noted that the bill also still requires presidential assent to enter into force.
But reacting to these comments, co-sponsor of the bill, Roxanne Nelson Dafiamakpo, told Joy News the comments by the EU foreign policy chief was upsetting and sought to interfere in the sovereignty of Ghana.
It's a very sad commentary to hear coming from the European Union. The European Union is giving a diplomatic status in our governance structure under the Rome Convention. I think that they should be very careful how they make this pronouncement. They cannot make pronouncement that undercuts the authority of Parliament or the sovereign Parliament of the people of Ghana, sovereign subject to the Constitution. We have done our work. If the presidency is feeding them with this information, they better go and read Article 106 of the Constitution. If the president refuses to assent, Parliament has the power to pass it per two thirds majority. They should be cognizant, they should pay cognizance to that provision and not make this categorical statement that the law as passed, the bill as passed into law, will not be assented to by the president.
Well, Roxanne Nelson Dafiamakpo is NDC MP for South Dai and co-sponsor of the anti-LGBTQ bill. Well, parliamentary correspondent Kwaku Asante is also on our legal affairs desk, joins me in studio with an update on the status of the bill. Kwaku, what is the status of the suits filed against the bill and those seeking to compel the president to receive it.
So two actions filed against the constitutionality are in the Supreme Court now, one by Richard Elaskai and another by Dr. Amanda Odoi. All those two cases have not even been listed for hearing. Mm. The Speaker of Parliament wrote to the Chief Justice through the Judicial Secretary and the Registrar of the Supreme Court, getting an expedited hearing for those cases. The Chief Justice is yet to take a decision on that, as we know. Mm. So those cases are yet to be dealt with. There are also cases filed by Rodney Nelson, the former court himself, at the Supreme Court, in the High Court, in other places. In the High Court currently, his action seeking to compel the president to act on the bill is facing some setbacks. The Attorney General is expected this week to make some legal arguments on that case. Okay. Then the court will make a decision.
Thank you so much, Kwaku Asante. Now, the growing feud between the Ashanti Regional Minister Simon Osei-Mensah and the Electricity Company of Ghana is very far from over. The minister yesterday rejected demands by staff of ECG to apologize and withdraw a police case against one of their managers. But today, the regional minister is alleging sabotage in the supply of electricity in the region. So, what are the issues? My colleague Elton Brobe joins me with more. Elton, two issues the minister is alleging. What's the first one?
So the first one had to do with the python. The python is what helps in the transportation of power. According to him, 8 pythons were destroyed. Okay. And from his own chest, this can only be done by somebody who has professional knowledge in engineering.
One of the other reasons why I decided that no, you have to write statement is the unfortunate situation that happened, for which bolts and nuts holding the metal frames of 8 pylons, holding the metal frame to the concrete pillar of 8 pylons, were removed. And I can tell you, except people who have deep professional knowledge in electricity that can do that. And all these 8 pylons fell. We were just fortunate. All the 8 did not fall on an adjoining pylon. Else, this region, about half of the region, could have been in total darkness.
Well, Elton, the regional minister also has issues with the load of supply in the region.
He says the Ashanti region is entitled to 200 megawatts of power, but from his checks, it's always been 180 megawatts.
Right.
The 120, they are unable to tell where ECG and Greco, you know, send that power to.
Mm. And the workers
have requested for information from them, ECG, that they should give me information on planned and unplanned maintenance schedules. Also, I've indicated that I want the regional distribution of Greco shortfall, because when I took over as the regional minister, there were similar situations, and for a particular instance, Greco shortfall of 200 megawatts, a whooping amount of 120 megawatts was taken from Ashanti Regional, distributing only 80 megawatts to the remaining region.
Elton is still with me. Elton, the workers of ECG have been reacting.
They say they cannot be blamed. Michael Adoma speaks for the ECG workers. They cannot be blamed. If they have power from Greco, they will supply the region.
The regional minister, Greco office is here. He knows that Greco who gave us the power. So if Greco is not giving us the power, where are we going to get the power and supply to the customers? He knows it. Anytime our general managers go there, they go with Greco people. He knows everything I'm talking about. So if Greco have a shortage, he didn't come and blame ECG.
So that is an admission that you don't have enough power to supply the region.
What I'm saying, if what the minister is saying is true, did he come and blame ECG? Supposing what the minister was saying was true, did he come and blame ECG?
So, Mr. Brown, what is the general electricity situation in the Ashanti region? There appears to be too much back and forth on reliability of power supply.
What I'm saying is, we supply what Greco gives it to us. As long as Greco gives us the power, everybody will have the supply.
Elton, so what's the latest on the issue?
Well, they are beating on the matter and will take a decision going forward.
We stay in the Ashanti region. It's been 25 years of peaceful reign in Asantaman and beyond, as Otumfuo Setutu II marks his silver jubilee as the 16th occupant of the Golden Stool. Many activities since Monday have led to this very moment. But before he ascended the throne after his predecessor, Opokuwari II, died, the process was not as smooth sailing, according to his Mare Hene, Dr. Bafo Sey Shaman Brentio VI. Now, sharing snippets of events that led to his enthronement, he revealed there was thick politics at play, but the kingmakers stood their ground to support Otumfuo's election.
The ma ahinsie bia ya dey ne say aman hene no na esi ehene no and so over time abeye say eye jasfo no jasu ankobia manwe
and
Otumfuo Pokware apenso
dey ko so installing a king is never easy. We are part of those who installed the current king. What we did was to go to the Queen Mother, who provided our successor. Before then, there was so much politics at play. But we had good advice from our elders not to be bribed into accepting gifts to influence the process. We rejected all gifts, including pajaros. We insisted on going with the Queen Mother's choice.
Well, today the king officially marks 25 years on the throne. We'll take you live to the Mensha Palace for a non-denominational Thanksgiving service. But first, let's listen to a report on the Asantinians' hosting of ethnic groups from across Ghana and the West African sub-region.
The colorful Durbar at the Mensha Palace attracted people from diverse backgrounds to experience the beauty of culture and tradition. The Asantehene received traditional leaders from across Ghana and other royals in the West African sub-region at a special Iwuku Day. Also gracing the festival were royal functionaries and representatives of ethnic groups living in Asantiman, including the Mosi, Kusasi, Kasinananka, Fanti, Anglo, Frafra, Nzima, and Dagumba.
Today's gathering is to showcase that the Ashantis are tolerant and love every human being. We've lived with a lot of people. Today, we are all living together here in the region.
Well, let's go live to the Mensha Palace now, where my colleague Emmanuel Bright Kweku joins me with updates from the Asantehene's non-denominational Thanksgiving service. Bright, what can you report?
All right, Mamiyesi. So when you come here to the Mensha Palace, as you rightly mentioned, there is a non-denominational Thanksgiving service being held for the Otumfuo Osetutu. And as you can see, already we have some thousands, hundreds of people from church and traditional leaders gathered here to celebrate the king. What the people of Asantaman are saying is that they are grateful to a king for his compassion and fighting for the good cause of the kingdom. Earlier, we had a presiding bishop of the Methodist Church of Ghana, Most Reverend Dr. Paul Kwabnabwafo, speaking at this particular function. And he has been touting the king for his unparalleled leadership and that he has brought in the development to Asantaman in terms of education.
And you heard my colleague Emmanuel Bright Kweku giving us updates from the Asantehene's non-denominational Thanksgiving for his 25th anniversary on the throne. You're still listening to the Midday News here on Joy 99.7 FM and over 30 affiliates across Ghana's 16 regions. We'll take a break. When we return, we have sports and also what is the rationale behind the Education Ministry to change the color of public schools to blue and white?
Why blue and white for the repainting of the schools?
Which other color do you propose?
Sports with Mubarak.
Yes, Mamiyesi. So Dreams FC will be hoping to become the first Ghanaian side to reach the final of the CAF Confederation Cup since Asante Kotoko and Hearts of Oak did in 2004. They face Egypt's Zamalek at the Baba Yara Stadium on Sunday, following a goalless draw in the first leg. Now, ahead of the game, former Black Stars forward Felix Abuaje, who featured for Zamalek in the early 2000s, is suggesting this game plan for Dreams FC.
The Arab clubs, when they come into away, strategically they are very, very good. And they are coming, Zamalek is coming all out to come and get an early goal. So I think Dreams FC, their last match when they play in Ghana, they considered the first goal before they come back and won that game. Against Zamalek, it shouldn't happen at all because they need to work very, very hard and score an early goal and unsettle Zamalek. All Ghanaian clubs, everybody is behind them.
Yeah, do join us at 1:15 on Game Plan with Fentio and the team for more.
Thank you, Mubarak. As part of the Education Ministry's rebranding exercise, public schools in the basic level are to be painted in white and blue colors. But what's the rationale behind the choice of the colors? Listen to spokesperson of the ministry, Kwesi Kwarteng, in an interaction on the Super Morning Show.
Why blue and white for the repainting of the schools?
Which other color do you propose?
Is it that you don't know the answer? Because you no, just have to tell us why blue and white. You are the ministry. Asking. You have brought two colors, blue and white. Explain them.
In the first place, see, we are using brown and I don't even know the other color. Have we offered explanation to why it's brown and I don't know whether it's gold. But why are we also using the same color?
Let me,
the path that you are taking me to, you make the conversation very difficult.
Mr. Kwesi Kwarteng, you have decided on colors. We are only saying what led to the choice of these colors.
I am saying that. As I speak with you, the minister has spoken of efforts or plans to rebrand busy school settings.
Interesting discussion there with Education Ministry spokesperson Kwesi Kwarteng and Morning Show host. Now away from that, she gave up on her search for true love after two failed marriages, each leaving its own scars. However, it was the death of her father and a visit to the mortuary that sparked an unexpected love story. The undertaker, who was hired to ready her father for burial, became the missing but found peace in Gifty's love puzzle. My colleague Joan Nyame has more in this latest report.
Love sometimes finds its way through the darkest of times. Meet Gifty, a 34-year-old who has been in search of true love. In the depths of her sorrow, she discovered an unexpected beacon of love in the most unlikely places, the mortuary. But it was the loss of her father, a pillar of strength in her life, that shattered her world.
To be frank, I told the whole family that is my last marriage. I will not marry again.
The undertaker, who was hired to ready her father for his final journey, became her source of comfort in her darkest hour.
Though I was working, my attention was on her, because the word that had been coming was touching my